It's 5 o'clock in Pirate Country, and it's time to get pumped up with the P-Man. Hit the door and hit the road. 94.3 The Game is going to get you home, and the P-Man's not holding back.
Yes! Yes! Pirates win! Pirates win!
Bring on the Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game.
Holy mackerel! Oh, my goodness!
The flagship station of the ECU Pirates.
All right. Hello again, everybody, and welcome in. It is the Patrick Johnson Show, a Friday edition of the P-Man. Thanks for being with us here. Let's share this out to the masses, right, Pilk? Share it out to the masses on the video streams, just so everybody will know what's going on. Great to have you with us here. We are in the throes of March Madness. We got Pirate Baseball tonight. East Carolina will be traveling to Texas San Antonio for the first time ever, and that will be the big matchup happening this evening on 94.3 The Game, beginning at 6:45 with an airtime. Scooter Rogers will be on top of the press box, I believe, tonight in San Antonio, Texas. I do not miss those days. Pilk, when I started doing Pirate Baseball all those years ago, it was Old Harrington Field. And they had this really weird desk that they laid in the bleachers. They were metal bleachers. And I sat there and I did the games outside. Coach O and I did. If it rained, we went inside and they had a hole in that dinky press box and we would shove a mic out to get crowd ambience. But it was something. Big show today. I was in town for Pirate softball. Got moved up to noon ahead of the weather tonight. So we'll talk to Shane Winkler here in just a second as East Carolina emerges victorious 4-1 today. They jumped out 2-0 in the first and got a great performance from their freshman pitcher. So Shane Winkler will be with us here in a second. We also are going to have Joey Football. Joe Sampson will be with us. And we'll talk tomorrow's scrimmage inside of Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium. And we'll be talking to Brett Friedlander out in Charlotte covering the Tar Heels. We'll talk the NCAA tournament and the ACC with him. But right now, let's go to the phone lines where Shane Winkler, ECU softball coach, joins us here on the Patrick Johnson Show. Shane, congratulations. First win today. And it came against a conference cross-state rival, so that was good. 21st-ranked team in the country, so that was also a positive coming into today. So congrats on the win. Great performance by your team.
Thanks, Patrick. Yeah, we're excited. We've been so close the first two weekends of conference play against some really good teams. And in Wichita, we had a chance where we felt like we could have picked up a series win and just didn't get the big hit we needed. And that's a top 30 team right there. So some really good teams in conference that we've been close with to really get the taste of a big win today. It's going to help our girls' confidence and really set us up for the rest of the weekend. But just some really outstanding performances that we're proud of.
They have already moved the game. I've been getting the email blast and the text blast from all the producers and Grady of the media relations. And Kyle Gaskins just sent me something on email, it looks like, saying that the game tomorrow will be postponed until Sunday. It'll be a doubleheader starting at noon. So a twin bill with the Niners and Pirates. For you, Coach, how do you keep the momentum going with a day in between those games?
You know, I think it'll be good for us because we'll get to sit on a win a little bit, keep building the confidence, and get an opportunity to get back. We'll watch a little bit of film tomorrow, get some swings in. Love the way we swung the bats today. The approach at the plate that we had. We hit some balls really hard and set ourselves up to have a couple really good innings. So really proud of that. But really it gives us the ability with Taylor Apple, who threw outstanding today, to give her a little bit of rest where she doesn't have to bounce back next day. She threw 103 pitches. So for her to be fresh on Sunday, whether she goes game one or game two on Sunday, really helps us out a lot because she was outstanding today.
Yeah, she was awesome. What was working for her today, Shane?
You know, she did a great job of getting ahead in the count. And I'd say the first two innings, her changeup wasn't there. And in my mind, I'm thinking, well, I guess we're not going to have that available. And then she starts being able to locate the changeup, which really made her 65-66 look like 69-70 later in the game. So she was able to get up in the zone and get their hitters under some things. I think she only had 3 strikeouts, but she was even more dominant than that because they didn't put a lot of balls hard in play, a lot of weak fly balls that we didn't have to challenge our defense too much. But it's all getting ahead in the count and making their hitters uncomfortable. She got inside enough to make them uncomfortable and change speeds just enough. But that was the Taylor Apple that we knew she had the potential of being all year. So I told her after the game that, congrats, but now she doesn't get to be a freshman anymore. This is what we know she's capable of.
Third-year softball coach Shane Winkler is with us here. The Pirates won today. The game was played at noon against Charlotte for a 3-game series. They will be back on Sunday at noon for a doubleheader. The second game will be 45 minutes after the first game Sunday between Charlotte and ECU. There was the line drive back to her. She caught. Now, it ended up being an illegal pitch, but I still want my SportsCenter top 10 call because it was a Hall of Fame call by yours truly. So
I'll go back and listen to that. But she had the illegal pitch that called that back, but then she picks up a strikeout, which is pretty sweet. So she didn't get rattled at all today, which even in a moment like that is pretty cool.
There we go, Stan. We were switching out microphones, Shane. That's much better, Pilk. We were switching out mics there, so sorry about that. Live broadcasting, as you know. All right, Shane Winkler with us here. I want to ask you about Emma Jackson. She's a transfer from Virginia Tech. She came in and hit a home run for you today in the first inning, and that's really all you needed. It was great to see Anna Sawyer get on with a leadoff double in the bottom of the first, the D.H. Conley product. Shout out to her dad, who is a fan of the Patrick Johnson Show. He's the one. How about those two setting the table early? And I think that also helped your pitcher, Apple, with her confidence.
Yeah, I mean, if you go, just going back to the Wichita series, which, again, we were right there in every game. Even Sunday got away from us, but it was a close game most of the game. We dug ourselves a hole in every one of those games, giving up 3 or 4 runs in the first inning. So we went through unscathed in the first, and then us being able to set the tone offensively was big. We talked about needing to drive the ball a little more, a few more extra base hits. Well, our first 2 batters, we get a double and a bomb. And that really set the tone for the rest of the game and what we tried to do offensively. But now I went into today wondering, okay, do I keep Anna at the top? I'd love how she's getting on base. And we kept her there and just her setting the table for Emma Jackson. Emma's a tough out. She can hit the ball out of the park from foul line to foul line, which not many softball players can do, and she's a great athlete. So she's been such a big pickup for us with her work ethic, her attitude, and obviously her production at the plate. But just proud of what she's done, and we've had some sticks behind her, like Morgan Johnson sitting about .500 in conference, is capable, and some hitters that are really close to breaking through as well. So we've been close, and hopefully today is enough confidence-wise to really propel us as we continue through conference, because we got a long way to go.
Shane Winkler, ECU softball coach, joining us here on the Patrick Johnson Show. Shane, again, what's the kind of modus operandi for tomorrow and then being ready to come out again at noon, this time for 2 games on Sunday against Charlotte?
Yeah, it'll be good. We'll get a little bit of preparation in, watch back some of today's game with some of our hitters. I'll get working on that tonight, and then we'll get in the cages and get some swings in, continue to work on the approach, because it's a process that's going to be daily, trying to get us a little more aggressive, driving the ball more. I still feel like we can drive the ball off the wall and over the wall a little more than we have been. And we're going to continue working on that. So it's nice to get a day of work in between games and then bounce back and get after them again on Sunday.
Hey, Shane, great to talk to you. Congratulations. Thanks for hopping on the phone with us. And we'll see you coming up Sunday.
Awesome. Appreciate you, Patrick. All right. Go Pirates.
There he goes, Shane Winkler. Great job. Great guy. And today, I think, is a glimpse into what the future of this softball program can be. Glad to have Shane on with us here today. Philip the Ref Pilkington is producing the show. Shane Winkler not on the hot seat like John Calipari is. He's got to be done, doesn't he, Pilk? I mean, losing to Oakland last night? Come on.
Yeah, he very well could be. Of course, Shane, not on that hot seat. Congratulations to him. You know, Charlotte's a darn good team. They've already had two top 10 wins early in the season, so big of the Pirates to go out there and do that. But, yeah, Calipari, I mean, look, three of the last 4 years now they've lost in the first round. 4 years in a row they have not made it out of the first weekend, including that tough loss to St. Peter's a few years back when they made their Elite Eight run. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, look, at the end of the day, he wins games, but you've got to win games in the tournament when you're at a blue blood like Kentucky. He's done it before. He's proved he can do it. But right now, clearly he's lost his touch. And just because this marriage is over, I don't think his career needs to be over, but maybe it's time for both parties to move on.
Yeah, and I mean, from what I understand, in talking to Brian Mull last night about it, and I mean, Mull is pretty well connected in the world of college hoops, he said basically that you know, the Calipari deal, they're not happy with him. It is quite possibly money-wise, the money people seem to be unhappy. The fan base is over it. So I think it's just one of those things. Cal's got a lot of suits, so I imagine he'd do TV for a year, and then you'd see him reemerge somewhere. Or he'd go to Louisville.
Louisville needs a coach.
Well, I think it's going to be Dusty May, and that may be happening soon enough because FAU lost in overtime today to Northwestern 77-65. FAU actually got the ball late in the game and had an opportunity to make a free throw to go up three and then potentially up four, and there was a foul, and they missed. And Northwestern came down, didn't get a three off, but got a tying layup, and it went to overtime. Baylor winning today, cruising easily over Colgate in a 3-14 matchup. UAB's been kept pretty well at arm's length by San Diego State as we are with you here on the video feed in the 3 o'clock hour today. Other games that are going on later on tonight. What are they, you may ask? It is A&M in Nebraska, the 8-9. Have you seen the kid from Nebraska, the left-hander kid of, I guess, American-Asian descent?
Yeah, he's a stud.
Oh, he's fun to watch.
He is, but this A&M team, man, I'm telling you, they've got some weapons, too. They're a better team, but Nebraska, they've got the best player on the
right
on the court.
A&M has underachieved all year, but they've had some injuries, too. Vermont and Duke should be an easy one for the Blue Devils tonight. Of course, you know, you say that, and look what Oakland did. Purdue should have no problem with Grambling State. I think Alabama-Charleston will be fun. Longwood and Houston, word that Gareth there, I think that's his name. Coach Griff at Longwood, who's done a hell of a job, is in line for the Rice job. He and Josh Pastner, there's two camps divided over that with Rice. I think William and Mary ought to go get Coach Griff. JMU, I like them tonight over Wisconsin in a 12-5 upset. Grand Canyon and St. Mary's ought to be fun for all the late-night crowd.
Might score 200 points in that game.
Yeah, and St. Mary's has got amazing guards. TCU and Utah State coming up also later on tonight. Yale and Auburn playing in Florida and Colorado playing. Clemson, New Mexico, other games kind of going on right now. UConn in action this afternoon as well. So that's pretty well the rundown. How about NC State winning last night? I will have to admit I fell asleep because that Kentucky game went so long. I you know, fell asleep with the game on. But how about that victory for NC State, who keeps it rolling?
They do. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's not, you know, how well you perform in the tournament or before the tournament, as long as you find a way in. And they've done it. They've performed well in March, but they're going to play their seventh game in 11 days tomorrow. It's going to be interesting to see if those legs kind of go. Oakland's coach in the post-game press conference said he didn't care who they were playing. He was just happy to be there.
Yeah.
And then he came on a radio show later in the night or early this morning and said, I would rather play NC State. I had to give the politically correct answer earlier, but if we get in a tight game,
right.
Said 7 games in 11 days. NBA teams don't do that. Texas Tech, they're definitely going to have more fresh legs if we see them. So he's happy to see the Wolfpack. We'll see what the Golden Grizzlies can do against the Toughies tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll see. All right. Hey, we're taking a break. When we come back, we are going to talk some Joey football. Should we do Hold My Beer to lead into it? Do you have something to gripe about?
Oh, always.
Does Joey football? I'm sure he does.
We'll text him and let him know.
All right. And I'll have something, I'm sure. Boy, there's a lot. All right. Wherever you're listening to us, wherever in the world you're watching us, thank you for doing so on the Patrick Johnson Show.
Do you have something you need to get off your chest?
Get off your chest.
I am not here for rage. I'm here for revenge.
Did your favorite team blow another game?
They are who we thought they were. And we let him off the hook.
Or is there just something that's driving you crazy?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
It's time to let it all out.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
With another edition of Hold My Beer.
Hold my beer.
Yes to what, Pilk? Oh. Welcome back. It is a Bazooka Friday around here at the Radio Ranch. Everybody is out of here. All the sales weasels are riding around in their fancy cars or in their fancy boats or flying in their fancy planes. They're the ones that make all the money, the sales weasels. Welcome in. Is Joey Football with us yet?
He is. He came on and froze, and now he's back on.
Okay, so. Good.
He changed numbers, so I've got to change his settings so we can get our two box here. Dang it, Joey Football.
All right.
Darn you, Joey Football. Wait.
That could be your Hold My Beer, Pilk, which is what grinds my gears. Look at that handsome lad if you're with us on the video. Joey Football, always looking good. All right, Joe, we're a little audible, a little Hold My Beer for some fun on a Friday. So what do you want to go first? What grinds your gears? I'm sure you got something. What do you got?
Well, first things first, let's just test.
You sound
Does my
great.
Mic work?
Yeah, you sound
wonderful
great.
News.
You've never sounded we're better.
We're off to a much better start than usual.
Yes.
And I appreciate you complimenting me, so please, go on. Hold My Beer has got to be the Shohei Ohtani news. We've heard all these things about the MLB's golden boy, about how sports gambling and players can't go hand in hand. Calvin Ridley, the most recent of the NFL players who was caught betting on games. And we haven't heard a single thing from Manfred. We haven't heard a representative of Shohei's camp talking about if he bet on other teams, if he bet on baseball. You know, at this point, put Pete Rose in, put Barry in, and then admit that Shohei Ohtani was betting on games, and let's move on. Because right now, the MLB golden boy isn't so golden.
You know, I saw a great meme. Is that what it's called? Kids, the memes?
Yeah.
On the Twitter machine that had never is Dmitry Ravanos actually who put this up, Pilk, said never sign a guy with this haircut. And it was Pete Rose with the 70s haircut, and then whatever Shohei's got going up there. It's not. It looks like a rug, to be honest. I'm not so sure that's not a rug situation up there. MLB's got a problem right now because that is also one of the leagues that. Much like the NBA, well, like all of them, has married themselves now to sports gambling, particularly baseball, to try to make itself entertaining, interesting, and trendy to a younger generation that likes to gamble on the cellular phone. So I think you're 100% right on that. And the silence is deafening. Pilk, what do you say on this?
Look, I think shaving points would be wrong. I think betting against yourself and, you know, doing the 1919 Black Sox would be wrong. But if you're betting on other stuff or you're betting on yourself, I mean, hey, that's what players do. They bet on themselves, whether they physically do it or not. That's how you got to this point. If that's the extra motivation you need to win a game, you know, who are we to judge?
So be it. All right. Pilk, what do you got?
All right. Hold My Beer. I'm going to sound like an old fart here. This darn pollen. Yesterday, John Gilbert said my car looked like a 24-karat gold necklace because it's so golden. I open the door, and it, like, falls in my face. I'm sneezing everywhere.
Good.
I mean, like, and I want to wash it off. Like, but why would I take my car to the car wash? It'll look just as bad tomorrow. So,
It'll look fine after tonight.
It will. Thank goodness we're getting some rain. Sorry the softball's rained out tomorrow. It stinks. I got to play a doubleheader. Have fun sitting in the hotel all day, Charlotte. But, yeah, at least we're getting some rain.
You know, you took mine, Joe, and then you took mine, Philip. So
that's what you get for going last.
That's what I get for going last.
It was your idea.
Because all the stuff I really could complain about, I would get me in so much trouble.
Ah.
It would get me in so much trouble. He really would.
Let's see. The basketball portal just opened. You got anything with that? You got anything with the NCAA tournament you don't like? You know, I got one for you, Patrick. You are a morning person, and all the good games tonight are starting at like midnight.
Well, it's Friday night, so that, and I don't have anything to do tomorrow, so it doesn't matter.
I'm trying to give you.
No, I understand. I'm trying to help. I could have gone, and I may even see if I could do this. Duke wanted me to come up and do a lacrosse game tomorrow. And I said, well, I'm already booked this weekend, and I've never done lacrosse, so I don't know how good I'd be at it, but it's a full production, and I'd have an analyst. So I don't know. I may text my guy, Chad, and say, hey, do you still need somebody? Because I can make the trek up. I'm free now.
If that happens, you need to get up with Joey Football for lacrosse terminology. So you need to
that's right.
Talk.
You played, didn't you, Joe? Yeah, you played so lacrosse.
I did. Cool.
Do you want to do play-by-play for Duke tomorrow? Could you do it?
I don't know if I could do play. I could do some stuff, but I mean, to know the ins and outs and stuff and be the guy to go to from the other situations would be completely different than to be the guy trying to say he's taking the ball up or playing from X.
I'll give you a hold my beer, and I'm not going to name the thing, but they perhaps are close by our studios, the coffee place. Awful. Awful.
What?
Yeah, not good. Not good. Wow. This is lukewarm at best. And
you get hot. That's the thing.
Yeah. And I went through, I was going to try to go through the drive through. And then, so I parked on the side and walked in because I figured that would be quicker than waiting in the drive through forever. And this girl was complaining, who's this parked over there? And I wanted to shout out, perhaps if you worried less about who the hell's parked over there out of the way and getting the product out to people, nobody would have parked over there. So hold my beer. Your coffee is overrated and it's garbage. Give me Dunkin' Donuts any day. Yeah, there was the other place on Arlington, too. And I went through there last weekend to get some coffee. It's that another new place over there. And I said, hey, I can't read your menu. It doesn't make any sense to me. Do you have coffee? Regular coffee. And the girl said, yes. And I said, excellent. Regular coffee. I got what I wanted in it for my East Carolina weight loss stuff, so I'm in line with that. And you know what then is said to me? It's like they were disappointed I wanted a regular hot coffee.
You got to be a basic white girl, Patrick. Now you've got to have fancy coffee. I went to a place, I don't even know where, it's somewhere over by like Best Buy, and it's like they only serve flavored coffee.
Yeah,
like,
and you didn't
coffee
want that.
Has become so bougie now. Like why can't coffee taste like coffee? It's like beer. Why do we have to have seltzers and all this other crap? Yeah. Like, why can't beer just be beer?
Beer be beer, coffee be coffee.
Yeah, we're getting way too complicated. There are way other bigger problems in the world than coffee and beer, and we're making them be problems because we're trying to make them all bougie. Like, coffee-flavored coffee tastes fine.
All right, Joey Football, are you still connected to ECU football?
I am. All right. What they tell me, at least.
So tell me if it's false. Tell me what's going on with the quarterbacks through two practices, Jake Garcia and Caden Hauser.
They both went with the ones at least once. Jake Garcia ran with the ones on Thursday. Caden Hauser with the ones on Tuesday. We're unsure as to who's going to get the one reps tomorrow. Houston hasn't really made that designation. There was no post-media availability on Thursday. So it's anybody's guess. Caden Hauser looked good. He's completing good passes. They're getting a good feel for this new offense with John David Baker. It's difficult to kind of tell what level they're at as far as when you say football IQ. Are you at the 300 level? Are you at the 600 level classes? Because it's a brand new system. You've got guys who are learning new terminology. Offensive linemen are learning new terminology, which is really the big away. Is one thing has been called a gap or a slip of your career here at East Carolina. And then it's called split. It's a completely different play. So that's been the takeaway. The defense is the defense. They're going to continue to do what they do. Sam Danka looks great. More Sam Danka. That is my hope and my wish, and we'll see what happens Danka-Jay. With the offense tomorrow.
Danka-Jay. That's what I say. Danka-Jay. Danka-Jay. Offensively, what are you anticipating this year, Joey Football? What if you were explaining this to the novice fan, the idiot? What would you say to them? What can they look forward to?
Patrick,
in this
I didn't have a mic on to defend myself. Why'd you have to call me out like that, jerk?
It's going to be a high tempo offense. You're probably going to look at a play every 11 or 12 seconds. It's a really high tempo thing. They don't allow for a ton of substitutions on the defensive end. And they're going to hit those little dink and dunk plays. You're going to see some explosion plays, but you're going to see a 4-yard screen here, a 6-yard rush here, a 7-yard carry here on the outside. It's not going to be one of those home run hits or no hit type plays, but it is going to be one of those ones where you're starting to drive down the field and it feels methodical. It won't feel like it's something you've seen before, and it's definitely not going to feel like it's predictable, and that's for dang sure considering what JDB and Lane Kiffin did at Ole Miss last year.
Is it kind of like the Rich Rod offense in a way?
It's tough to say if it's true Rich Rod. Obviously, there's those quick hitters
on the outside. Or is it more like what SMU does?
It's similar. The best way to put it is like Josh Heupel's type thing, where it's not a ton of vertical stuff. It's a lot of lateral that kind of mixes in place.
Gotcha.
It's early, obviously, so he could go away from that as we get closer with personnel understandings and new tight ends and whatnot. So I don't want to necessarily call it a Rich Rod offense, and I don't want to – it's kind of between Rich Rod and like Greatest Show on Turf as far as that how it hits in between the hashes and right in before those numbers. So I wouldn't call it a true Rich Rod, but that's a good term.
Okay. The great Joey Football, Joe Sampson, is with us here. He's slaving away over a hot keyboard writing stuff for his MBA. He's a very smart young man. So defensively, there's some guys that have a chance to be studs. A little bit of some guys banged up, both in the running back, or not banged up, but just being held out running back-wise and in the secondary. So there's a chance for some younger guys in both those position groups to get some meaningful reps this spring.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the obvious is Revel, which Siobhan did in the back end for the corners. But Lamp is not untested, but he's new to ECU. He is a fairly young guy. He played a good bit at West Virginia, but he's going to be that guy who can kind of play in between the nickel, can also play on the outside like that. You could bring in your nickel package and move him to nickel and bring in another corner like you have. So the back end's not really my concern. Obviously, you still have Dontavius Nash in the back half of that too. So, yeah, Dontavius. So you still have a chance to kind of do that like you did with Julius Wood. And the running backs, it's good to see Bond back to form and running again.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of kind of room to move yourself up the depth chart, but that's not what spring is about. It's about staying true to who you are and like showing what you can do so you get a shot to prove it in the fall.
Kamaro Edmonds is the enigma. I mean, he has all the tools. He's probably the most talented running back. No offense, Rajay Harris. I mean, he's probably gifted, the most gifted running back. And he just kind of does baffling things away from the field. And he just doesn't seem like he's been able to put it all together. To me, this is a huge spring for him.
It's definitely a huge spring for him. Mero's a very different person, and he's just like that easygoing guy. You wouldn't know he's a running back if you talk to him. A lot of times, and Rajay's guilty of it, so I'll buzz him a little bit for it. They have like that inspirational quote. They got like that meaning behind everything. Samurai who laughs in the dojo or cries in the dojo is the one that laughs on the battlefield, that kind of stuff. Mero is just Mero. Like, he's just so easygoing. He's just so comical. He's always so lighthearted in his quips and stuff like that in the meeting room that it just seems like the game kind of comes to him. Whether he's having a rough day, having a good day, he's just always that same person. So it's been good to see him put it together, and I think his mindset's been a big piece for that.
I hope he does, because as it's been proven out, you can't have enough running backs. And especially in what we're going to do offensively this year at East Carolina, you can't have enough running backs. All right, Joey Football, are you going to be at the are you going to be at the scrimmage tomorrow?
I am. Boots on ground.
Okay. Wear galoshes. And it's going to be rainy. So
great day to be a duck.
It's a great day to be a duck or a frog. And you're going to, or a fish, you're going to be doing social media presentations tomorrow. Is that right?
That is what they tell me.
Okay.
I will be live tweeting.
Oh, live tweeting. I love it. All right. Will I go be there? I guess he will be, won't he?
As far as I know.
Yeah, I would assume.
Weren't you on IGO show today, you two guys?
Yeah.
We were.
What do you guys talk about this time of year, Joey Football? Did you talk about March Madness?
We talked a little bit about March Madness. I went on a rant about how March is about an insurance salesman in 2 years giving buckets to the NBA lottery picks.
Right.
And that's what the spirit of this game is about. We went into the MLB. I ranted about the Padres fielding a team of all shortstops and how it's not going to work. I mean, they have seven converted shortstops in the field right now. You got Manny Machado, converted shortstop, Jerkson Profar, who's the center fielder. You've got Ha-Sung Kim, who's now playing shortstop. Xander Bogaerts, shortstop. Jake Cronenworth, shortstop. They've got a reliever, former shortstop. Yu Darvish, drafted, shortstop. So,
former Cub,
it's just
Yu Darvish.
One of those rambling things.
Hey, former Cub. He went over one other thing that you forgot to mention, Joe. Patrick, what would have been Patrick's favorite part of the thing when you bashed on the Cardinals, the team he hates the most?
You know who I hate the most are the White Sox. The Cardinals. Actually,
okay. We know they stink.
Yeah, we did rip them. I don't. I hate the White Sox more than I do the Cardinals. I respect the Cardinals. I don't like them, but I respect them. But I hate the White Sox.
We gave both of them an earful.
Almost as much as I hate this cupped ditch water that I was served today. All right.
Unnamed beverage.
Thank you very much, Joey Football. I'm sure we'll do this again during the course of the spring. Stay dry tomorrow.
Thank you, sir. Looking forward to it. Take care.
There he goes. Brett Friedlander is going to join us from Charlotte in a little bit. We'll talk about North Carolina State in the basketball tournament, picking up wins. Duke tonight against Wagner. But right now, Philip the Ref Pilkington with the 94-3 The Game Sports Update and Pirate Report.
Thanks, P-Man. Starting in Pirate softball, they grabbed their first conference win of the season today and improved to 22-8 with a 4-1 win over Charlotte. Tomorrow's game has already been rained out. They will resume with a doubleheader on Sunday starting at 12 noon. Tonight, the baseball team will be in action right here on 94.3 The Game as they open up league play against the Roadrunners of UTSA. They are coming off a win at Elon where the lineup was consistent from top to bottom.
I thought, you know, very up and down the lineup, very consistent. I thought we put pressure on them. We executed bunts. Our pitchers threw strikes. We played good defense. Like I said, thought it's the best game we've played this year.
And tomorrow at noon, the lacrosse team will be back in action as they have their first home conference game of the season against Temple. Moving over to Major League Baseball, six-time All-Star outfielder J.D. Martinez has found a new home as he has signed a one-year deal with the Mets worth $12 million. And the Baltimore Orioles announced today which players will start the season on the Major League roster and in the Minor League roster. Unfortunately, former Pirate Connor Norby was on the Minor League side as well as fellow second baseman Jackson Holliday. That'll do it for your 94.3 The Game Sports Flash Update and Pirate Report. On the other side of this timeout, we will be joined by Brett Friedlander, ACC insider, to talk March Madness as he is in Charlotte right now covering the Tar Heels.
Have you noticed? He's in his own little happy hour. We're back to the Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game.
This is the happy hour program.
Here's the P-Man.
All right. Welcome in. We are here. The ACC has countersued Clemson. Ooh. Well, we'll talk to Brett Friedlander about everything going on the legal beat. Saturday Road writer Brett Friedlander joins us from Charlotte. Always great to catch up with Brett. And he has been covering North Carolina out there as they rolled past Wagner the other night. Hey, Brett, thanks for taking some time. I know you're busy. Always appreciate it. Always wonderful to speak to you. I get a lot of reaction every time we have Friedlander on, by the way. People love it.
I was going to say, I get reaction too, but usually it's never positive. So
good to hear. Hey, Brett, let's start with NC State last night. They will now take on the other darling of the March Madness this year now, Oakland. But I thought it was interesting. You know, he had some foul trouble in the first half, but they were able to overcome that. And they got four guys in double figures. Double-double for Muhammad Diarra again, even though he can't. He has to fast during the daylight hours. But he's just playing sensational right now. I don't know if somebody like Middlebrooks is going to be able to give him that kind of production every time, although he's coming off a really good ACC tournament. Morsell was solid. It seems like they have seized on a formula that is effective for them. And I don't know if it was so much what NC State was doing, but I was really not that impressed with Texas Tech last night.
Yeah, it's funny how everybody was jumping on the Big 12 bandwagon and also the Mountain West. And yet the ACC teams have really handled themselves pretty well against those conferences. And you kind of see in head-to-head, maybe just not that much difference and not as much as they want you to believe. But I tell you what, Kevin Keats took a lot of heat in February, and whether you think he did, was or not on the hot seat, I thought last night was an exquisite job of coaching. They saw that they had an advantage inside, that they could really pound it, and boy, did they ever. They took advantage of what they thought was an edge for them, and really, Texas Tech had no answer for it. And DJ Burns was great again in the second half, and I don't know if you saw my column that I wrote out for that game. He's becoming a rock star. This guy is becoming this, like, you know, every year there's like one or two players that become, you know, that everybody in America falls
right.
in love with.
Yeah.
And there, two of them are going to be going head to head tomorrow in the Oakland NC State game. But, yeah, listen, if Mohamed Diarra had played like this in late January and early February, if they'd have gotten 10 rebounds a game
yeah.
from this guy and 8 to 10 points a game, they would have been a 4 seed rather than just barely getting in by winning the ACC tournament. But kudos to Keith and his crew. They found an urgency. They found a formula, and they are really doing a good job with it. I'm really kind of interested in seeing how tomorrow is going to go.
Yeah.
Because they have been this us against the world kind of mode for the last week and a half. Well, tomorrow they're going to be wearing the white jerseys. They're going to be playing a team that's seeded lower than them, and they're going to be hearing all this stuff about how the bracket is busted open, wide open for them, and it's all there for the taking. Are they still going to have that same edge? Are they still going to have that same urgency? Or if they are they going to, you know, strut out onto the court thinking, "Hey, we got this," and we'll see the Wolfpack version of, you know, the Syracuse or the Virginia Tech yeah. game.
Well, and the other thing tomorrow with them, Brett, is they're not going to be the darling tomorrow.
No.
You know, they're going to be actively rooted against tomorrow.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, this is where Keith and his staff are really going to have to do a lot of work, because human nature is such that, you know that the mindset is going to be different. Now you have to control it.
Saturday Rhodes, Brett Friedlander is in Charlotte covering North Carolina, who will play Michigan State tomorrow. What impressed me about Michigan State on Thursday was that they kind of shut Mississippi State down. I thought that was a pretty talented basketball team. It's kind of typical Izzo this time of year as teams seem to show up.
Yeah, they're a 9 seed for a reason, though. And they're going to try to play bully ball with Carolina. They're going to try to be physical. And last year, that would have really caused Carolina trouble. But this year, with Cormac Ryan and Harrison Ingram and the edginess and the toughness that those two bring, that, you know, it just kind of is, you know, contagious to the rest of the team. I think Carolina's going to be able to handle themselves well. A couple of things. First of all, Armando Bacot is just playing at the top of his game right now. And, I think that Michigan State does not have the inside guys that would be able to stop him. R.J. Davis is a bucket. And even if you decide you're going to face guard R.J. and keep him from beating you, look what happened when Duke did that. Cormac Ryan goes off. Yesterday, Jalen Withers had a 15-10 double-double. And I don't expect Elliot Cadeau to have another game like he did yesterday. So
right.
I just think that this is actually a pretty good matchup for Carolina. I think it's a bad matchup for Michigan State. I think the fact that Mississippi State liked to just kind of play the same style that they did, and they were able to, you know, to lock them down, I think that was a good matchup. Carolina's got too much athleticism. They've got too many ways that they can score. And I think that Carolina is going to win this game. And I think they're going to do it maybe not as impressively as yesterday against Wagner. But I think they're not going to really have to sweat the ending out of this.
We got Brett Friedlander with us. We've talked to Gilio this week. We talked to your buddy Brian Mull this week. All good, smart guys like yourself that I like to talk to. I think Duke is Final Four talent. We'll see if the time off has given them a chance to circle the wagons. I don't think this isn't vintage Vermont, so there shouldn't be a big problem tonight. Shouldn't be, unless something just goes really out of character. And they're playing in Brooklyn, so this is more of a home game for Duke than if they were playing really anywhere. Maybe even if they were playing in Charlotte, it's more of a home game for Duke. So How do you see the Blue Devils navigating tonight, and then what do you look at as you get out of this weekend, either Wisconsin or James Madison, who's won 31 games? How do you see Duke getting out of this weekend, or will they?
The NCAA tournament is all about matchups. And for Duke in particular, matchups are critical, because if you've got a dominant inside presence, if you've got a rim protector or somebody who can score, at the low post, Duke's in trouble. And you look at the teams that have beaten them and that have given them trouble. Carolina a couple of times with Bayton and Ingram. Clemson, they almost lost that game. If not for a really, really light foul call with 1.8 seconds to go. Well, P.J. Hall and Ian Shiflin gave them fifth. NC State with DJ Burns the other night. And so, I look at the matchups and I see that Vermont does not have that.
Right.
And neither does it Wisconsin and James Madison. I think it's a great draw for Duke, because they're not playing the kind of teams that really make them have to play an unfamiliar style and really kind of give them trouble. So I think that they've got a great shot of, as long as they make baskets.
Right.
You know, Jeremy Roach couldn't throw it in the ocean from the beach the last couple of games, and that's a concern. But I can't imagine him doing that again. So if their guards can make some shots, I think that they advance to the Sweet 16 at least. And then after that, let's see what the matchups are, because so much can happen that, you know, it's kind of silly to project that far ahead. But I like the draw in Brooklyn. I think it's set up for them to win two games and go on to next week.
Brett Friedlander with us. By the way, that Duke game will be heard starting at 6 o'clock on our sister station, Talk 103.7 WTIB. All right, Brett, Clemson has sued the ACC. The ACC has countersued. There was some legal action today, I think, in Mecklenburg County involving the Florida State lawsuit. I don't know what was done, admittedly, because I was calling a game for ESPN Plus for softball. So what can you tell us what's going on from the legal eagle beat?
All right. Well, I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not going to pretend to be, but I can give you my perspective to what I think is happening here.
Please.
I think this is all posturing. First of all, this is not something that's going to get decided one way or the other quickly. We are talking at least 2 years down the road, because you're going to have, like you said, suits, counter suits. You're going to have, once something does get decided, it's going to be appealed. So if you're expecting this to be adjudicated anytime soon, you're going to be disappointed. Okay, there's that. So I also think that if it comes down to a decision by a judge, the ACC is going to win. The ACC is going to win because they've got signed contracts. And you can argue all you want that it's a crappy contract and that it puts you at a financial disadvantage. But you signed it, and you signed it twice, both of those schools, and whoever else joins this lawsuit.
Right.
So there's that. I also think that the end game here is not necessarily to get a settlement that allows Florida State and Clemson to leave. I don't think the ACC has anything to gain by letting that happen.
No.
In fact, if they do, you know, make some sort of a deal that would allow these guys to leave, that's the end of the ACC. They become the Pac-12, because everybody's going to leave. So that isn't happening. I think the end game here, I honestly believe that the aim of Florida State and Clemson is to force the ACC into adopting some kind of uneven distribution model for revenue that gives the top grossing or the most valuable products more of a cut of the league's revenue, and basically saying, look, we're tired of the top teams propping up the bottom of the league. It's time that the top teams get what they deserve, and if the bottom teams don't like it, let them leave, because they've got no place to go.
Brett, out of the weekend, how many ACC teams will be still playing or in the Sweet 16?
I think at least three. I'll tell you on Clemson today after I see them play.
Right.
I think they've got potential. But boy, oh boy, wouldn't it be kind of cool if the ACC had four in the Sweet 16 and the Mountain West and the Big 12 and the SEC all fall flat on their face? I want to see what the Rothsteins and the Parrishes and the Lenardis of the world have to say about that. You know, I want to see them say, hey, you know what? We screwed up. Guess what? That's a pretty good conference. It ain't going to happen, but, you know, it would still be kind of fun.
Well, and it'd be great for this state, because you'd still have three
of them.
Yeah. absolutely.
And especially to the folks who wear red, because they have, first of all, no matter what happens tomorrow, they've got a banner that they're going to be raising at the beginning of next season. And it's something that they have, a lot of people, and my son who went there included, thought that they would never live to see. So there's that. So, but yeah, they deserve it. And what's really kind of cool is watching them get some love. You know, I mean, not just from other ACC schools, just like rooting for them because of the ACC, but, you know, nationally, they're getting all kinds of love, and that's something that NC State fans absolutely crave and have not gotten. So, good for them.
Hey, Brett, thanks for the time, buddy. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Always a pleasure, Patrick. Thank you.
He's great. Brett Friedlander, thanks to him for joining us here today. That was good. That really was. You know, I think Brett's 100% right. This is going to take a long time, this legal process. The only thing I would be curious to know is if North Carolina and Virginia join it, does that – and who else is going to join this? Because I don't see Syracuse or Pitt unless they're delusional. Maybe Virginia Tech and State would try to. I think Duke's going to good soldier it because I think they realize football-wise – they're not going to be able to get the push. But I still think, I mean, look, right now, I mean, it's valuable this time of year to have Duke as part of your conference. So it's not as lucrative as football, but, I mean, it is valuable to have them there. And, you know, a very smart sports fan said, I'd love to see the Tar Heels go to somewhere like the Big Ten where the officials aren't going to care who they are. You think they're getting any breaks in Bloomington or –
No,
Columbus.
But they've already ruined the ACC that was started so many years ago by Maryland leaving.
Yeah.
Let's not blow it up anymore. I mean, that basketball tournament is keen, and you saw how much it meant to NC State. You know, I know that got them in. I get that.
But they were more happy about the championship than they were getting
Oregon
into the
State bid stole a couple years ago, and don't get me wrong, they were happy, but there's something about winning the ACC tournament. There's something about Everett Case – creating this tournament and it being the first that it stands alone and it'll never be touched. Pirate, well, it could be if they ruin it.
Pirate baseball here on 94.3, the game beginning at 6:45. First game of the series between ECU and UTSA. Good luck to the Pirates this weekend. Softball will be playing Charlotte in a doubleheader because of the weather on Sunday. Big thanks to Shane Winkler. They picked up the win today 4-1 over Charlotte, number 21 in the land. Did the Pirates in softball first win in the American. So let's hope the Pirates can keep it going. Big thanks to Joey Football, Joe Sampson, for being with us. Follow him tomorrow on our social media. He'll be at the football scrimmage. And a big thanks to Brett Friedlander for being with us. Pilk, have a great weekend. Thanks to you as well.